This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The sponsor of North Carolina's so-called bathroom bill could represent the state in Congress. State Senator Dan Bishop of Mecklenburg County won yesterday's Republican primary election for North Carolina's 9th Congressional District. He beat 9 other candidates on the ballot, and he had just under half of all the votes. WNC Politics reporter Rusty Jacobs has been covering the 9th District and joins us now to talk about the results. Welcome back, Rusty.
Thanks, Frank.
Was that surprising yesterday?
In some respects, no, and in some respects, yes. I'd say in one respect, yes, the margin of victory. Dan Bishop, state senator from Mecklenburg County, commanded the field yesterday, more than 47% of the vote in a 10-way race.
Right.
His closest competitor was Stoney Rushing, a Union County commissioner. Union County and Mecklenburg, two of the 8 counties in this golf putter-shaped district, have the biggest population, the highest number of registered voters. But it wasn't even close in that county. I mean, Bishop won all the counties of the district. So in that respect, that there was not even, it was not even close to a whiff of a runoff. That was, I said, surprising. The rest was not so. Again, Bishop, of all of them, certainly the most well-funded and the greatest name recognition as a state senator. Some, as you said, would say notoriety because of his attachment to that HB2, the bathroom bill.
He was in the House at the time.
Correct.
That happened. So tell us a little bit more about him and his career.
Well, so he was a Mecklenburg County commissioner, lawmaker, both in the House, now in the state Senate, and as you said, attached to a notorious bill, but he's got name recognition, and he calls himself a conservative, and he was the victor among 10 candidates that really, as one political analyst I spoke to said, tried to out-Trump one another. I mean, he is towing the line, the Trump line. You know, he supports his ideas on immigration, supports the idea of repealing Obamacare. So he is not trying to sell himself as a middle of the road moderate who could possibly appeal to center left independents.
All right. So talk about how this election is shaping up then, the general election.
Well, it is a 4-way race. There is a Libertarian, Jeff Scott, who ran in the 2018 race that was discarded because of vote tampering. There is a Green Party member, Alan Smith. And then there's Dan McCready. Dan McCready just missed the 2018 election by 900 votes. He is back in the race. Of course, his previous competitor, Mark Harris, is out. It is probably going to be a race between Dan Bishop and Dan McCready. Dan Bishop has taken to calling himself the right Dan versus Dan McCready. But Dan McCready is entering this race with $1.5 million in hand. Bishop has a little more than $500,000, half of which came from his own personal loan to his campaign.
Yeah, hard to read the tea leaves in this because, you know, Dan McCready came way too close for a district that is so red, right? I mean, in some ways, people thought, and if it wasn't for the vote tampering, you know, the Democrat may well have taken that solidly Republican district. On the other hand, it was an extraordinary case. It was the 2018 election. This will be a special election in September. So it really, there's almost not much we can draw from the 2018 election, is there, going into the special election, or is there?
Only that Dan McCready had such a formidable campaign because he was well-funded, and a lot of that money comes from national Democratic groups. The same is going to happen for Dan Bishop. The money's not there yet, but it's probably coming soon. I mean, already on Twitter, there was a congratulatory message from the National Republican, the congressional committee that the Republicans have to get members elected to Congress. They were right out there saying that he is the bulwark against the Green New Deal, already painting Dan McCready as an arch liberal and putting him in with the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wing and casting Dan Bishop as someone who will keep that socialist wave from coming. So he's already getting the backing. He also had a congratulatory message from Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader. So he's going to get big backing from national Republicans.
All right. And this is the first test for the Bladen County Elections Board since the vote tampering scheme in last year's 9th district election. What are they doing to rebuild trust?
Well, they have an overseer from the state elections board. There's a staffer, Veronica DeGraffenried. She's the director of elections operations at the state board, and she is there to make sure they're doing things right. She told me for a story I did on this that when she first got down there, there were a lot of people who basically said, well, this is the way we've always done things, and they didn't know any better, but it was wrong. So one of the biggest things she's doing is doing trainings for people who will serve as precinct judges, precinct chief judges. They're the people who are on the ground on election day making sure polls don't close early, that all the ballots are in order, and they really need to make sure that their elections are being administered properly.
All right, we'll see. Rusty Jacobs, WNC Politics reporter. Thank you, Rusty.
Very welcome.
Well, we turn now to WNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry for some other big political headlines, including the firing of Executive Director of the North Carolina State Board of Elections, Kim Strack. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, Frank.
Tell us more about this news that we heard this week.
Well, we can tie this directly back to the North Carolina 9th congressional race, at least in part. Kim Strack is the executive director of the State Board of Elections, and she has been in that role for 6 years. She was front and center in some capacity during this 9th congressional race from last November that was never certified because of absentee fraud, because of election fraud. And she is somebody who has wide respect from both Republicans and Democrats. She is unaffiliated. Her husband is a Republican. He is somebody who has represented the General Assembly in court challenges, in lawsuits in recent years. And that's something that Democrats have pointed to in recent days, though it's not really been a common refrain or a common criticism of her, something that you've heard frequently over recent years. But just a little bit more about Strack. She's widely respected. She has led investigations into that 9th congressional race, but also into members of both parties. Listeners may remember an investigation into former Governor Mike Easley. Strack was very much front and center and very important investigator in that. She was a lead investigator. Also North Carolina senator. Went to prison, actually, several years back for campaign finance violations. So she's somebody that is seen as very tough and very good at her job, very smart woman. But she's no longer in that role. And, of course, surprise, surprise, that has led to some strong rhetoric and a little bit of controversy.
Well, let's talk about that, because Kim Strack is responsible in a large part for the fact that we know about the 9th and there is an election that was overturned and a Republican could have gotten that seat if that hadn't happened. So certainly not only is she not responsible for the tampering, but also responsible for us knowing. Why do the Democrats do this?
Simply because they have the power now. Listeners may remember a couple years back, right after Roy Cooper won but had not moved into office, he was stripped of some of the powers that executives normally are afforded in the state. One of them is control over the State Board of Elections. And after a lot of litigation and more than 2 years, the power eventually, he won. Cooper won in court, and it went back to Cooper. So he now has a State Board of Elections, a five-member board that reflects his party by a 3-2 margin. And that board has the authority, and it has not had the authority the last couple of years, but it had the authority, has the authority to move, remove, do whatever it wants with the executive director. So that's why the time has come now. What Democrats have said in the last couple of days is that they wanted to shift the focus to somebody who has more experience with local election boards, and the woman that they're bringing in, Karen Brinson Bell is her name, pardon me. She has a while back some local election board experience at the county level. She worked in Transylvania County. But it is something that Republicans have pounced on. They've said that this is simply a power grab, that there was no need for this, that despite the fact that Democrats have said we need nonpartisan elections boards, we need to have fair and balanced elections, they're removing somebody who has been very good at their job. And one North Carolina senator called it a crisis of legitimacy.
All right. Another big story in Raleigh, a bill that would change the way regulators set electricity rates. What's behind this bill?
This is an interesting bill. It's two parts. The first part is non-controversial. Part one of Senate Bill 559 would change how utility companies, really Duke Energy, are able to finance cleanup and repair costs following major storms. And by and large, there's no opposition to that. The second part of the bill would change the methodology through which Duke goes about getting a rate increase. Right now, it has to go before the Utilities Commission and does so on an annual basis. But this change would allow the energy company, the utility, to make rate increase changes or get rate increase changes approved 5 years out. And there's some opposition to this, most notably perhaps from energy and environmental groups, environmental groups, and also the AARP. But this is something that Republicans are saying, exists in other states, and they're trying to move this way. So that is the portion of the bill that has generated some controversy.
Now, it comes at a time when Duke Energy is trying to figure out a way to pay for the damage done by its coal ash spills. So that's the coincidence here. What are the critics saying about the timing of this bill and its impact?
So the concern is how much of the cost of removing coal ash and coal ash cleanup is going to get passed along to ratepayers and also passed along to ratepayers proactively or in advance. Because last year, the Utilities Commission did rule that some of the costs that have already been incurred by Duke Energy can be passed along to ratepayers, but they can't be done years out or years in advance. That was unrelated to this, but that was just dealing with the cost of coal ash. So one of the big questions here is about those kind of proactive payments, and also a concern that has been raised in some of the conversations is, you know, what if there's a project or some cleanup effort, something that begins but is not finished, or if there's a project where there are cost overruns or something like that, how is that going to affect the ratepayer as well down the line?
30 seconds left, but one of the few Democrats who supports this is Senate Minority Leader Dan Blue, who's come under ethics concerns.
He has. There was an ethics complaint filed last week against him for work that his law firm has done as it relates to Duke Energy, Duke Energy and the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. Dan Blue has been a legislator for more than a quarter century. He is widely respected, and there have been both Democrats and Republicans who have come out to say those ethics complaints really are not grounded in anything, people are largely coalescing around him in defense at this point.
Jeff DeBerry, WNC Capital Bureau Chief. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Just ahead, what if you knew you only had a short time to live? What would you do about that? We'll talk about that. And the author of a short story that she is turning into a play called Six. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.